All right, Rabotai, welcome. We're back with the Orachim HaKadosh, Rav Chaim ben Attar, and we're up to Parashat Aharimot. The Parashat Aharimot is also known as the Parashah of Arayot. Arayot is the laws of immorality, the forbidden relationships, which is really the main theme at the end of the Parashah. And the Pesukim, or the Pesuk that we're going to discuss today, is the introduction to Parashat Arayot. It's in Perek Yudchet, and it's a Pesuk Dalet. And the Pesuk reads as follows, Et Mishpatai Ta'asu, which means you should carry out my laws, Ve'et Chukotai Tishmeru, and you shall observe my statutes, La'lechet Bahem, to follow them, and the Adonai Eloheichem, I am Hashem, your God. Now the Orachim HaKadosh over here has a question. We're introducing Parashat Arayot. Now, ultimately, Parashat Arayot, the laws of the forbidden illicit relationships, it's a chok. It's a law that really doesn't have a reason to it, why certain people are forbidden and others are permissible. Torah doesn't give us a reason. It's a chok. So we have no problem with the Torah introducing it by saying that chukotai tishmeru, that keep my statutes, the statutes of Arayot. But what does it mean, et mishpatai ta'asu? Follow my laws. Carry out my laws. Which laws are we talking about? Where's the mishpat in the laws of Arayot? Why is that the introductory pasuk? Et mishpatai ta'asu. That's the main question of the Rav. And I'll read his great language when he says, Kasheh, achar she'en medaber ela befritzut ha'arayot. Since the subject over here is really only one subject, the laws of promiscuity, the laws of immorality. What are these statutes and laws doing over here? Furthermore, what does it mean, lalechet bahem? What does that do? Lalechet bahem, that you shall follow. And thirdly, what is ani Hashem Elohechem? Why is the name of God being mentioned? Rabbi Orachim HaKadosh says a fantastic hiddush. V'nir'eh lefaresh lefi ma shekatavnu besamuch. We know that arayot, immorality, is what we would call today in the modern vernacular an addiction. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the more one feeds the addiction of arayot, the hungrier it gets. Normally, when a person eats, so the more you eat, the more full and satiated you get. But when it comes to ta'avot, when it comes to desire, especially promiscuous relation, the more one feeds into it, so his desire only grows. A person shouldn't make the mistake to think, you know, let me give in, and then the desire will subside. The Gemara actually says, "Maspi'or," when you satiate it, ra'ev. It only gets more hungry. And therefore, the only way to curb this addiction is to starve it. As the Gemara says, mar'ibo saveya. When you starve it, then already it becomes satiated. So the Rav says that a person might make the mistake because he wants to be careful from arayot, and he knows that any attraction to any form of relation can cause bringing him closer to the sin of arayot. So he might decide to abstain even from peru urvu. A guy might say to himself, why should I get married? I'm going to get married and I'm going to be with my wife. I'm going to have children and that's going to create desire. From that desire, it's going to create an appetite. From that appetite, it's going to lead to, God forbid, something asur. And therefore, he might choose to be a celibate. again, l'shem shamayim, because he's going to say, I don't want it to lead to avera. So he writes, v'yivatel mitzvat p'riya u'reviya, and he will, you know, he won't get married, he won't fulfill the mitzvah of having children, and he won't fulfill the mitzvah of yibum, right? Let's say the mitzvah of yibum rises, he won't do it, because, listen, it's a relation, and a relation is giving in, and therefore you're feeding the desire, you get more hungry. And he's going to abstain from this category completely. And therefore, the Torah is not advising that. The Torah introduces Parashat Arayot and says, "V'laze siva Hashem ve'amar et mishpatai ta'asu." You must carry out my mishpatim, my laws. Ta'asu means the Torah is telling you not to abstain. Et mishpatai ta'asu is saying you must do it. Do what? Shehem mimin atzmo she'asarti lecha. From the same category that I'm going to forbid you in the coming Pesukim, I don't want you to go to the extreme and make a total abstention from this category of getting married. Therefore, ani mehayivcha la'asot, I am obligating you to carry it out. Even so, I still want you to keep my chokim, which is the laws of Arayot. A beautiful pasuk. So here the Ora Chaim HaKadosh is reading it like this. And even though I'm now about to give you the laws, the hukim, and I want you to keep these hukim diligently and religiously, and you can't give in an iota, because if you're going to give in, it's a slippery slope. And the more satiated, the more hungry you're going to get. But don't make the mistake of going to the extreme and to live a life of celibacy, and not to get married, not to have children, because you're worried what it's going to lead to. So the first law in Arayot is, et mishpatai ta'asu. I want you to fulfill my laws. I want you to observe those. And what's the law that it's referring to over here? Peru urvu, get married. Don't use Arayot as an excuse, even a religious excuse, not to get married because you want to, you know, create a fence against Arayot. No, I want you to get married in Mashvatai Ta'asu, but nonetheless, be careful. Et Chokotai Tishmeru. So that's a very, very important pasuk. It's what the Gemara teaches us many times. Al Tehit Tzaddik Harbe. No, you can't be too much of a tzaddik. So Torah is coming along and telling you parameters. This is permissible and this is forbidden. And there's certain things that are mitzvah. And don't deprive yourself from the mitzvah, especially the great mitzvah Piru Urvu, because you're worried about Arayot. No, that would be overzealousness. Therefore, the Torah says, et mishpatai ta'asu. The first law in Arayot is what you're allowed to do. Go find a kosher wife and go get married and go have children. That's what the Torah wants. But at the same time, even though that's permissible and that's recommended, keep my chokim, which is the law of Arayot. And then the Rav has a variant interpretation, a very, very strong musar. I'll tell it to our members over here, even though, again, it is a powerful dosage of musar. O Yomar, ki be'emsa'ut shemirat Arayot, when a person is careful in these laws of promiscuity and the laws of immorality, yimsi'u hachana b'nafshotam lekayem mitzvot aseh. It brings purity to the soul of a person where now he is prepared and ready to fulfill positive commandments. Ke'omro, as the pasuk says, mishpatai ta'asu. If you want to keep my mishpatim, the 248 positive commandments, and ushmirat kol alavim, if you want to be protected and to observe all the prohibitions, like it says, shemira is referring to the negative commandments, ke'omro chukotai tishmiru, That's the way you're going to reach observance. The predicate of observance is Kiddusha. Before a person can fulfill the mitzvot and have the ability to withstand the averot, the person's body must be kadosh. And therefore, one must abstain from arayot. So the pasuk is read like this. Et mishpatai ta'asu ve'et chukotai tishmeru. As a result of keeping the arayot, this will make you suitable and fit to fulfill the mishpatim, which is the positive commandments, and to be protected from the negative commandments. Ma she'en ken, im yat'if ma'asav baderech ahu. On the other hand, if a person commits these repulsive acts, meaning immorality, techele nafsho betahalu'e hatum'ah, soul will become diseased with impurity. And he will not be able to fulfill properly any of the mitzvot. Now, he doesn't mean that you're not going to do any mitzvot. You'll do the mitzvot, but the Rav is going to say, since they're done in an impure, sickly body and soul because it's been perverted by immorality, those mitzvot are not going to permeate the soul and are not going to be accepted by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ki tum'at chet zeh, the impurity of these sins, mashre tum'ah al kol evrei ha'adam v'chochotav. It causes impurity to rest on all of the person's limbs and his faculties. B'cheban sheken, kol alavin lo yimna' mehen. And as a result, he will not have the ability to resist the urge and temptation against all of the negative commandments. Ki b'chol eber tum'ato bo. Because in every limb, there's tum'ah. When a person commits immorality, it doesn't only affect one part of the body. It affects the whole body. And the rabbi will tell us that since the mitzvot and the negative commandments correspond to limbs in the body, so since all the limbs, the body and soul, are now compromised, we'll have a difficult time in arousing them to do mitzvot and to refrain from averot, mitzvot aseh, as well as the positive commandments as well. Now listen to this language. And even though sometimes he will do a mitzvah, so the guy's going to commit arayot, and he's going to do mitzvot. He ate matzah and pesah. So he tells the Orach Haim HaKadosh, what are you talking about? The guy's a promiscuous guy, immoral guy. I'm doing mitzvot. He lit the menorah, he read the Megillah. He might even go to a shiur. He said, what are you talking about? I'm doing mitzvot. Says the Rav, ena mitzvah. Will not get credited for a mitzvah. Ki lo yitiratze ba habore yitbarak shemo. Creator, blessed be he, will not accept it. Al derech omro, as the pasuk says, ul rasha amar Elohim, to the rasha, to the wicked one, God says, ma lecha lesaper chukai. What purpose do you recount my decrees? God is not interested and has no desire for mitzvot that are performed by the wicked. Only on mitzvot that are done with holiness. So it's a big chiddush. So we're learning now that if you want to make yourself your mitzvot count, you want to make your mitzvot worth something, the Rav says, one has to keep away from immorality. One has to keep away from immodesty and promiscuity and all the subject of arayot. Now your body is holy. Now when you do the mitzvot, Borei Olam says, I accept. But God forbid if the body is tainted and unholy and sickly because of this sin, the mitzvot have little value. Now, I don't want to depress our members. You have to remember that Harambam writes that if a person makes teshuvah, all is forgiven And Borei Olam will retrieve those mitzvot that we did that weren't accepted. Yesterday, God said the person is distant, and today God says he is close. So this is all talking about where he doesn't make teshuvah. But once he makes teshuvah and he makes a complete repentance, then already everything goes back to where it is. Teshuvah means to return. Not only the person is returning, but all those mitzvot that he did that were unaccepted, they return as well. Now there's a teshuvah, there's a returning of all the good deeds that the person accomplished, and now they're accepted in front of God. So therefore the pasuk, again, second way of learning, et mishpatai ta'asu, ve'et chukotai tishmaru. As a result of keeping the parashav arayot, it'll make you fit and holy, and therefore you'll be prone to fulfill the mitzvot, and your mitzvot will be worth something in front of God, and also give the ability to resist, because your body is going to be holy. What does it mean when it says lalechet bahim? Lalechet means to follow. So that tells us a beautiful idea. When a person is permeated with kiddusha, the body has a natural, we'll call it a spiritual gravitational pull towards mitzvot. It'll come natural. It'll become something that you're drawn to. There's a natural attraction towards the mitzvot. It's almost as if it happens by itself, like a magnetism. So the pasuk is saying here, lalechet. It'll just happen by itself. You'll be drawn to the mitzvot. Yechaben lomar v'darkenu. He says, the way we explain now, ki ka'asher ye adam tahor v'akadosh mati'u. A person is holy and free from repulsiveness and immorality. Yolid b'tib'o l'kayem ha-mitzvot tamid. His nature will develop. He'll have a natural inclination to perform the mitzvot. Imagine that you'll be motivated to want to do the mitzvot. Al derech omro, like David HaMelech said, Kishafti derachai ve'ashiba naglai el edotecha. David HaMelech in chapter 119 says that when he got up and his feet naturally would take him to the Beit HaMidrash, it was almost as if David's body was on autopilot. The natural inclination was to the mitzvah, as the Hakamim Adoresh in Vayikra Rabba, Shiraglav Shil David Me'atzmam Hayu Holchot LeBet HaMidrash, that the David's feet instinctively would walk him to the study hall to study Torah. Letzada Hergel VaHepetz VaNivhar, out of habit, because that was David's greatest desire. And therefore, since David was pure, so therefore the natural desire of David, since it was not for immorality, was now hypersensitive to things of Kiddusha. Because the body is going to be drawn to one or two desires. Either the desire of the Tum'ah, so then you're not going to be attracted to Kiddusha. But once a person moves himself away from the Tum'ah, now he will be attracted to a different desire, to spiritual desires. It seems that you cannot be attracted to spiritual and physical desires at the same time. The physical desires will dull that sense towards spirituality. So one has to move away from the physical desire, especially immorality, and then lazeh amar lalechet b'hem. You'll start to see that your natural inclination is going to be towards the mitzvot. Perush shemeatzmo yelech b'hem b'tiv'o. All of a sudden, the mitzvot are going to become what we refer to as second nature. He's going to start doing the mitzvot naturally. It's because his body and his whole are standing in a state of purity. And therefore, since he's in a state of purity, he's going to be attracted to pure things. Now, the last piece that Torah Magador says on this is Kabbalistic. However, since we're in the Sefirat HaOmer time, and we're getting to the great days of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So I think it's appropriate to quote. Then he says, "Ve'od yiratzeh al derech ma she'amar atana ha'elahi Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai alav shalom in the Zohar." So he says, we have Ramah Evarim, we have 248 limbs in the body, and Shasa Gidim, and we have 365, I guess they call that sinew, okay, whatever that is, or ligaments. Hem keneged mitzvot aser v'lo ta'aser. As we know, the 248 limbs correspond to 248 positive commandments, and the 365 sinew or ligaments, they correspond to negative. Then he says a big chiddush, that every single time a person does a mitzvah, so the holy name Yudke Vavke rests on that limb that corresponds to that mitzvah. Is the human becomes a sanctuary to receive the Shekhinah via the mitzvot. It's incredible. And the Shekhinah will come down onto the person's body and rest on that limb. The Rab then teaches us that if you take the word mitzvah, which is literally the commandment, it's spelled mem tzadi vav he. Now the last letters of mitzvah vav he are actually the last letters of God's holy name, yud ke vav ke. The last two letters of Hashem's holy name is vav he, which is the last two letters of mitzvah. And the first two letters of mitzvah is mem tzadi. Now, there's a formula in the Hebrew alphabet, which is called Atbash. What Atbash does is it substitutes the first letter of the alphabet with the last letter. So an Aleph can become a Taf. A Bet can become a Sheen. So you have At, Bash, Gar, Dak, Hatz. So the hair and the tzaddi are interchangeable. So in the word mitzvah, the tzaddi actually can be interchanged for the letter he. Let's continue. Hatz, vaf, zak, has, tan, yam. The yud and the mem are also interchangeable. So the letter of mitzvah, the mem, can actually be interchanged for a yud. So mem tzaddi, the matz of mitzvah in atbash is yud ke. So therefore, mitzvah, if we really wanted to study it according to the Kabbalists, mitzvah is another form of yudke vavke. It's just that the yudke is hidden and the vavke is exposed. And the Zohar HaKadosh talks about why that is so. But for our purposes, that a mitzvah is a manifestation of the yudke vavke. If somebody says, Rabbi, I want to feel the presence of God on me, go do a mitzvah. And have kavanah. Hashem Shamayim, and at that moment, the presence of Yudke Bavke will be on the person. With this, the Rav comes along and explains the last part about Pasuk, that when you will do the mitzvot, and for that matter, when you will abstain from the averot, so the Yudke Bavke will be on that limb that corresponds that avera. So this is how he learns. Lalechet bahem ani Adonai Elohechem. So he reads it like this. The pasuk is to be read like this: Yirtze Omro, ki ba'asiyata mitzvah, by doing the mitzvah, na'asita hachana lalechet ba, you're going to have a preparation, and you're going to be fitting for the Shekhinah to rest. Uchilu amar, it's as if the pasuk says, lalechet ani Hashem bahem. It's as if the pasuk is saying, "Lalechet ani Hashem." So I, God, will be able to go within them. That's how he's learning the last pasukim of Erevot. I'm repeating again: "Lalechet bahem ani Hashem elokechem." That God is saying, "Lalechet ani Hashem bahem." That I, God, will go into them. Yeah, he's learning. La lechet bahem ani Hashem. Read it. La lechet ani Hashem bahem. I will go into them. How will I go into them? I will go into them through their observance of the mitzvot. And that's a Very, very, very big yesod. People are always looking for ways to feel the presence of God. One of the greatest ways is to connect through a mitzvah. That's what we prepare before the mitzvah. We wash our hands. We say, "Be'i no'am, Hashem Elokeinu," let the presence and the sweetness of God, the pleasantness of God be upon us. And then a person will start to feel that sweetness, but only if he has kiddushah. But if the person is mitu'ab and is going after his physical pleasures and desires in the realm of arayot, so he's not going to feel it. Those that yud kei bavki cannot rest in a place of ti'uv, of abomination, of things that are disgusting. And therefore the pasuk is coming along to tell us that first the person has to deprive himself, but don't deprive yourself of everything. You still got to get married. Mishpatai ta'asu, follow the mishpatim, pinu urvu, procreate. But at the same time, don't let that lead you to go against the chokim. Then the Rav Gadol says, and keep the mitzvot. And you know how you're going to keep the mitzvot? By keeping away from arayot. That'll make your body prone. Not only prone, your mitzvot will be accepted, and all of a sudden, naturally, you'll be attracted to do the mitzvot. Like David's legs that naturally just brought him to the Beit HaMidrash. You'll have a natural pull. It'll be almost like instinct to do the mitzvot, because your body is sensitive to kiddushah. Then God says, I will go on those limbs. As the pasuk says, Lalechet bahem ani Hashem. Is Lalechet ani Hashem. I, God, will go. Where will I go? Bahem. And those limbs that correspond the different mitzvot. After all, mitzvah is another form of the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's why we should be zocher to overcome these temptations that the Torah talks about. And the biggest beneficiary will be ourselves, because we'll start to feel the true and the best pleasure of all, which is the pleasure and the sensation of kiddushah and tahara. There's no greater feeling and ecstasy of having the Shekhinah's presence on us. And once you feel that, no other pleasure in the world compares to it. Yiratzon sheneskeh letaher ulekadesh et atzmenu ulasot ritzono belevav shalem. Amen. Yiratzon.